All right. Good morning. Thank you, Angela, for filling in there. For Gary. Gary's out with some family this morning. So as the kids go to children's church. Excuse me. Well, it's good to be here with you this morning. Glad everyone could make it on time. And as we all joke about the hour lost and not sure why we even keep doing that anymore, but we talked about that in Sunday school class this morning. I think we solved the world's problems this morning in Sunday school. It was great. Darius, it was a good job. I really appreciate going through the Bible. I love the old K. Arthur Webb. You know, everybody familiar with that? You know, the precept upon precept, line by line, word by word. I love that type of Bible study. And sometimes I try to do that in my messages. And but I want to welcome many guests here we have this morning, for sure. And good to see Bill. Bill is at the Men's Brotherhood meeting Tuesday night. Good to see him and his family back here this morning. And so if you are visiting, we have a little visitation card outside in the tables out there. If you please fill that out and give it to me or one of the men here, and we'd be glad to minister to you. Come visit. Drop by when your house is dirty. sorry. But we'd be glad to come and minister to you. And if you have anything, please, you know, catch me, and we'll see what we can do for sure. So let's pray and ask God to bless our time that we have together. And let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, as always, for this time to be able to teach your word, preach your word, encourage each other. Yes, you are our Heavenly Father, and your name is holy, and you're worthy to be praised. Lord, help me lift up the name of Jesus this morning. Lord, you said that if your name be lifted up, you would draw all men unto you. So, Father, we're here today to hear your word, to be encouraged, to be corrected, to be guided, to be counseled. So teach us all, Lord, as we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this morning we're going to be back in Matthew chapter 6. Again, they're going to stay there for a couple of weeks. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. And if you missed last week, you can definitely always catch up the sermons on our website. I would encourage you guys who have, you know, internet access and to go and check out some of the sermons. You can listen to them in your car or truck as you're driving. You can share them with neighbors. It's a good way to witness to friends. It's easy to share it. You can pull it up on your mobile phone. And this is just one more way to witness and share the gospel. Amen? And so if you did miss some, you know, occasionally we have to be out, you know, vacationing, doing business, you know, going places. And you can always catch it on our website. Darren does a good job of keeping track of that, and I appreciate it, brother, you know. And I've had folks private message me on Facebook and ask questions about the church just from something that someone's been sharing. So, I mean, God can use a donkey in the Bible to give someone direction. He can use Facebook, can he? You know, he sure can, you know, and text and those kind of things. So I'm excited about the message this morning. We're going to be going through the Lord's Prayer again. Okay, and we're going to go through the Lord's Prayer probably up to Palm Sunday, and then you know, we'll keep that a secret, all right? Palm Sunday, and then Easter, we'll definitely have a sunrise service Easter, and like Darius said, we'll have more information about that as we get closer to what times and the service times on Easter Sunday, so I'm really looking forward to that. And so let's go ahead and read Matthew chapter 6, or 7 through 13. It says that when you pray, and this is Jesus talking now, okay? and teaching. He says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. I went into the King James here. I just like the way that flows. I think all of us memorize it from childhood. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Excuse me. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and amen. Now last week we talked about the first little part of that verse, as God is our heavenly Father. And I played the little music video about He's a good, good Father, and that touches my heart big time every time I hear that song. What a beautiful song. And then about lifting up His name, and He is holy and worthy to be praised. Understanding from last week's message that the Creator of the universe, the Creator of everything, lives inside of me and you, and He loves me and you. So like I said, the plan is to continue this series up to around Palm Sunday. So today, let's focus on verse 10. Just verse 10, we're gonna focus on that. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if we study that word kingdom and we look in the Greek and get all down in the gizzards and guts of what that really means. Sorry, that's kind of country, isn't it, Glenn? But what that really means, that word kingdom means royal power. It means dominion. It means kingship. And here it is, ready? The absolute rule of Jesus as the triumphant Messiah. Wow. I mean, that really speaks to me. And I got to talk about this one little word right here too. It says, your kingdom come. So you look at that word come, and what that means is, it means the going and coming of one place into another. In other words, just like arriving and departing, and arriving and departing. Now it goes on when you really study this word to explain that don't be confused with an actual kingdom place. It says, but it's the right to have all authority and rule over a kingdom. And in this case, it means the rule and power over everything that exists. From our little small planet Earth to the galaxies and the universes and whatever else God's creating and expanding, as we know from science, that it's still moving and creating, right? This right or authority over this kingdom is usually given by winning a war. When you really study the history on this. And it's usually paid with the sacrifice of men dying in battle. Now Matthew chapter 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them. And He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. In 1 Corinthians, it says, then the end will come when His hands over this kingdom of God and all dominion, authority, and power, He must reign until He has put all enemies under His feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. So we're setting up here where Jesus has all authority and all power and everything that even exists. And see, guys, Jesus destroyed death in his resurrection. We're going to talk about that a little bit in a few weeks. So we'll hang on to that. See, every time this word kingdom of God, and I looked it up, I spent some time and looked at every is the same Greek word. The same Greek word, the kingdom of God. And here it is. The kingdom of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not necessarily talking about a place over here or a place over there or a place up here or a place down there. It's really talking about Jesus. Jesus is everything. Everything was created for him, by him, everything. So the kingdom of God, what it's talking about, is Jesus Christ, the gospel. Mark 1, in the book of Mark 1, 14 and 15, it says, now after John was put in prison, it says, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Same Greek word. Preaching the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. It says, repent and believe in the gospel. Same words. Luke 17, 20 and 21. I'm going to read it. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see over here or see over there. For indeed, this is what Jesus says, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Amen? Amen. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, of everything. He is our triumphant Messiah. Man, I want to get into my Easter message, but I can't. Help me, Lord. Messiah. That word Messiah, if you studied, you don't understand that word. Messiah means the anointed one, the chosen one, the Savior of the world. Romans 14 and 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's Romans. Paul was getting on to him. Remember that? You know, he talked about that a little bit in Galatians too. It says, I'm going to read it again. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but it's of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, my friends, it goes back to Jesus. Jesus is our righteousness, isn't he? Because of the cross, we are made righteous through his shed blood. Jesus is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. In him, we have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus is our joy. In him, we have joy everlasting. You see, Jesus is teaching us, now listen closely, Jesus is teaching us in the Lord's Prayer to pray and believe for the kingdom to come. Yes, I understand. We all long for the return of Christ. He teaches us about in the Bible, right? Amen? The second coming of Christ in all his glory. Yes, we long for that. And we're looking for that. Some would say the old word Maranatha. Is the Lord come quickly? It's the Lord's coming. You know, he's coming. Yes. But in this Lord's Prayer, and the Lord's Prayer, I really believe Jesus is focusing in on us being able to pray and target in our prayers about people's salvation. Listen to it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is Jesus, the gospel, the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. Listen to this. The coming and going, the kingdom of come, the coming and going, the spreading of the good news, the spreading of the gospel. Jesus came down from heaven, born of a virgin girl named Mary, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, and rose on the third day. Jesus wants us, looking at this Lord's Prayer, Jesus wants us to pray for the daily ability and power to spread the gospel as we go and come and go and come in our daily lives, as we interact at work and at home and in the streets and neighborhoods, as we go and come. Jesus is wanting us to pray for the salvation of the lost. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen to these key words. 2 Peter 3:9. This is what it says. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, listen to this. Instead, he is patient with you. He is not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance to be saved. Isn't this awesome? This is God's will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. 1 Timothy 2:3. This is good. This is what it says. I'm reading. This is good and pleasing God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. God's will in heaven is the same today as it was yesterday and forever. Because it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Hebrew 13:8. It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen? God's will and purpose, and I understand, God's will and purpose may be unique to each person, but I believe it all sums up in what Jesus is teaching us in the Lord's Prayer. And I do believe that God gives gifts to all men. When you really study that, God talks about being dented in your mother's womb. When you study that, and it talks about, and I believe that's part of your personality that God gives you, and it's part of your gifting that God gives you. Maybe I'll teach you on this later sometime. It's about the spiritual gifts that God gives you, the physical gifts that God gives you. And it's all based on what God's called you specifically to do for the glory of the kingdom of God. But I don't want to get sidetracked with that. We'll come back to that another time. But I believe that God's will and purpose for each one of us, for all Christians, that Jesus sums it up. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's what Jesus is all about. Y'all hear me? Really? That's what the Bible says. It's not Dallas' opinion or what I think. This is what the Word of God says. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It goes on. Jesus says to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. He said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, guys, I really believe strongly that Jesus is asking us in the Lord's Prayer, as we really take a detailed look of the Lord's Prayer over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, is that we should somehow get a passion within us to start praying for the lost, the suffering. As Mr. Jesse was praying this morning, it was touching my heart. I thought, I don't need to preach now. He's already said what needs to be said. Amen. Thank you, sir. Jesus is calling us to pray for the lost, that they may repent of their sins and accept Christ as their personal Savior and believe that God raised him from death on the third day. You ever wonder why he talks about the third day so much? I'll just throw in this here a little extra gravy. Is that okay? Some of you may know this, but in their culture, they really didn't think someone was dead until after the third day. So, you know, some people would come back up, you know, they wouldn't really that, you know, they seriously, they do that today, right? If you're in the medical world, you know, people come back to life after, you know, an hour or two, right, Pete? I mean, but they factored into their belief in the culture that after the third day, you know, they're good and dead, you know. they could go ahead and count them dead now, roll a stone, you know, do the thing and whatever. So even when Jesus, we're talking about Lazarus a little bit in Sunday school, and when Jesus was, you know, they were coming, trying to get Jesus to go help Lazarus, and they started getting on his nerves. They were like, come on, it's okay, come, wait, I'll get to him. And Jesus was getting frustrated with them. Y'all remember that story? Really, you think about it, Jesus was really waiting what? After the third day. So when he showed up, and they know he was good and dead for real. I'm sure that God was the same thing with Christ. You know, he had to stay in there 3 days so that after the third day, you know, the third day he rose. This is the kingdom of God and his will on earth. It is planned out in heaven by our loving Father. Our loving Father had this all planned out. The salvation of mankind. And Jesus has given us a little instruction here in our prayer life. Jesus is giving us marching orders. He's commanding all of his fathers, all his followers, to obey him. And he sums it up, my friends, in two things, and we've all heard this 100 times probably. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, here it is again, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will with you always to the very end. And the great commandment. Matthew 22. They were saying, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then he said, the law and the prophets and everything hangs on these two commandments. My friends, listen to this. I'm getting ready to close, so here we go. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus gave us a track to run on in our personal prayer life. He gave us this foundation that we can build on. It's a solid foundation. The Lord's Prayer. And it may sound a little something like this. Now just stay with me. You look at the part of the Lord's Prayer there. Think about the prayer that I'm about to pray. I've just written it down, so I'm going to read it, and you listen and think about the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, I praise your holy name. You are worthy of all honor and glory. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for my sins. Thank you for showing me mercy and grace. I love you. Please help me, Lord, to pick up my cross today and follow you. Help me to be obedient to your word. Bring someone in my path today, O Lord, that I can share the good news of Jesus with and help them find peace. Amen. I'm not trying to tell you how to pray, or I'm just giving you the example that Jesus gave us. So really, it's our Heavenly Father. Your name's worthy to be praised and honored. I love you. That kingdom come, he's, Lord, help me. Help me to witness to somebody today. Bring somebody in my path that I can share the good news about Jesus with, right? That they can find peace in their life. I love the Lord's Prayer. It's Jesus' model. It's the foundation, I believe, of a godly prayer life for every born-again believer, that we can build on this foundation. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus. Lord, if there be one here today that's never met Jesus, they've never given their life to Christ, I pray that they would do that today. They can do it today down here at the altar with me or one of the deacons. They can do it at home tonight, just sitting on their couch. Lord, I pray that they'll humble themselves and repent of their sins, ask God to forgive them, and then place their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection Jesus Christ, a Messiah, a Savior of the world. Father, if there's one here that would like to join our church, they can come and talk to me or one of the men, and we'll be glad to talk with them about that. Lord, I pray that my brothers and sisters would find a new passion for the personal prayer life, and Lord, that maybe they could use this as a springboard, or this many folks in there. I know that some of them have wonderful, great personal prayer lives with you, and I thank you for that. Maybe there's some that never really have started to pray, and I pray that they'll find that little spark of passion in their heart to find some time to get along with you, because I know that you long to be along with us. Thank you. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right.